From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
Welcome to School Talks. On the program this week, we're going to several corners of the state of Michigan to hear about the great programs happening across our state. From Cass City Schools up in the Thumb, we'll chat with Allison Zimba, Adam Dorlin, and Kurt Tuckey. All the way up in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, we'll chat with Robert Vaught from Detour Area Schools. And downstate here in the metro area, we'll chat with Jeff Cass from Ann Arbor Pioneer High School. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now from Cass City Schools, we have Superintendent Allison Zimba and teachers Adam Dorlin and Kurt Tuckey. Welcome to the program, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, in doing my research for today's program, I was intrigued by the CDL, or Commercial Driver License Program, that you offer students in the district. We spend a lot of time here on School Talks showcasing many different career and technical education programs. We have, you know, programs in here on plumbing apprenticeships and all kinds of trade-related things. And when I came upon yours, how unique this is, I reached out to you to hopefully have you on the show. So I really appreciate it. And I would like to start with Superintendent Zimba. Allison, what inspired Cass City to launch this free program for students, and where did the idea come from?
Well, it actually came from a grant. We had a Monsanto grant for a couple hundred dollars. And when I was talking to some area farmers about what can this money actually go to? Should we buy a gate for our ag program? Should we, you know, what is actually going to help you guys? And they jokingly said, well, we could really use some more sugar beet drivers. And so when I took that and I thought about it, I knew Mr. Dorland here drove truck on the weekends and at night. He's a workaholic. I thought, okay, maybe we can offer some kind of program here at the school. Adam was on board, and Mr. Tuckey followed suit later on, and it's just been a great opportunity for our kids at Cass City to give back to their community and set them up for success later on.
And what a story, all from an idea supported by a grant. So, teacher Adam Dorlin, tell us a bit about how students actually can enroll in this program and how it reaches completion in Cass City Schools.
So it starts with our Dean of Students. We have a Dean of Students in Cass City. Her name is Mrs. Hempton. And students need to be 17 or 18 years of age in order to be enrolled in our program. So normally we get seniors. And once they are, they get to sign up for the class. It's an elective. They get a math credit for going through the program. We do that this time of year, setting up for fall. And once a student decides to enter the program, he or she is then entered in what we call an ELDT, which is an elementary level driver's training online course. And it basically is 30 online modules, and they are enrolled in that. It's self-paced. They can do it online. They can do it on their phones. And in the meantime, they are to go and get a drug test from FMCSA, which is Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association, and they get an MDOT physical, so Michigan Department of Transportation physical, basically to make sure that they're physically fit, they can see, they can hear, they're going to be able to handle a 80,000-pound rolling object going down our highways. And once they complete their ELDT, they go to the Secretary of State, and they take three tests, one on general knowledge, one on air brakes, and one on combination vehicles. They have to pass all three tests, and once they pass those tests, they get what they call a CLP, which is a commercial learner's permit, which allows them to drive on Michigan roads with any licensed driver. So at that point, that CLP is good for a period of 12 months. They have 1 year to complete all the training that they need, from pre-trip inspections to range moves to on-road driving. And then once Mr. Tuckey and I feel that they are proficient, we send them to a third-party examiner. Up our way, we go to Essexville, which is a little suburb of Bay City, and we schedule them a test. They go there, they prove their proficiency, and once they passed, mm-hmm. they are good to go on Michigan roads, hauling anything other than hazmat and passenger vehicles. So they can do tankers, doubles, and anything that you see on the road, and they must remain within Michigan boundaries. So they have to stay mm-hmm. in the state. Once they turn 21, they can then go get their hazmat passenger endorsement and leave the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm.
So, Kurt Tuckey, the way Adam has laid out the goals and the opportunities for the program, in your opinion, how does a program like this address the workforce needs in a local agricultural community like Cass City?
Yeah, I'm a vocational instructor myself. I've been a vocational instructor the entirety of my teaching career, and we have lots of people in our area that need drivers. We have Nutrient Ag Solution, which is one of our sponsors for the CDL program. They do provide us with some funding. They really would like to have us provide them with drivers. We have drivers that drive for a lot of different companies that are in the local area, but one of the big ones is agricultural. Miss Zimba here, her husband's a farmer, and that was one of the big pushes, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs drivers, and the sugar beet farmers in the fall, the trucks are on the road nonstop. And it doesn't matter on the vocation, most vocations need somebody with a commercial driver's license.
So we're currently chatting with the staff from Cass City Schools, talking about the commercial driver license program they offer students. And, you know, when I think about the traditional vocational classes in a school, they're often somewhat misaligned with the idea that it's a shop class, like a wood shop class or what have you. And when I think about where your class is really out on the road in terms of learning how to drive and so on. So given that road aspect to the curriculum, question for you, Adam, how does the program integrate with students' regular academic schedules like reading, math, and so on?
So we've done this now. This is our fourth year of doing CDL at Cass City Schools, and we've learned a lot, and now we've tweaked our schedule. So our main course schedule offering puts CDL first hour of the day, so we don't offer it any hour. And what that allows us to do is daily, once we get drivers, so once we get CLPs in students' hands, that allows us to hit the road. We could hit the road at midnight if we wanted. Generally, kids don't want to get out of bed at that time, so we make a 6 o'clock start. Our truck is equipped with three seats, so I can go hit the road at 6 o'clock with three students, and we bust that. That gives me 3 hour block to work with students. So an hour drive here, hour drive here, hour drive there. My schedule then puts me back in a classroom because I also teach health education and phys ed, so I have to be back for second hour health, and that starts at 9 o'clock. So that gives me a 3 hour chunk where I can go out, we can get hands on, we can do pre-trip, we can back, we can go drive on the road, get our work in for the day, and then I go on about my day. So through trial and error, we've learned that putting it first hour of the day, that's the best time.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a short break. I need to hear from our sponsors who support this great show, School Talks. And when we come back, I do want to talk to you a little bit more about the equipment and the resources available for students, and really, how does this equate to a job? So stay right there. This is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Welcome back to School Talks, where we are chatting with the good folks from Cass City Schools about the rather unique commercial driver's license program they offer to their students through what we know as a career and technical education path. So, Adam, before the break, we were talking about schedules and how it's blocked. In many respects, it's blocked similarly to other CTE programs to take advantage of the needed time. But let me ask, what kind of equipment and resources are available available to students in the program. I noticed you mentioned a truck. So tell us a bit about what kind of equipment do they have to learn how to haul sugar beets?
So we're super thankful. We've got, we're lucky enough, and this is fresh off the press. We now have two trucks and two trailers. We have a 06 Freightliner, and that is our manual transmission. So manual transmission means that students actually have to physically shift the truck. You get a restriction on your license if you don't take your exam with that transmission, you get a restriction which limits what you can and can't do with that license. We have a 06 with a 10 speed. We bought two trailers. We have two 28 foot van trailers that we bought at auction. They're single axle. They're nice and short. They're top notch. They're very well maintained. And we just recently, through Meijer, the store Meijer, Michigan-based company, got free of charge, keys in hand. They dropped off a free, it's a 2019 Freightliner Cascadia. It's fairly new. It's a day cab. Our older truck, our 06, is it's got a bunk on it so we can take more kids. But the new truck is an automatic. So now we transition students from driving on the road with the automatic to driving with our manual 10-speed transmission, mm-hmm. and the flow is very nice, and now it allows us to, while I'm out on the road driving with students, Mr. Tucky can be in our back parking lot that mm-hmm. is equipped with our range for backing maneuvers and pre-trip. Students can now be doing that at the same time. So now we're doing two things at once, and having two trucks and two trailers has been a game changer for us.
I'll say, and is the truck you're referring to the one you brought down to the studio today?
So the one that we brought down here today is our 06 with a manual transmission. It's an older one, but in order for us to haul the two people that came with me, because mm-hmm. I drove, we had to take that one. Our day cab only has two seats, one for an instructor, one for a driver.
You know, all throughout my life, I've heard semis blow the horn, but today was the first time in my life I was able to sit in the cab and blow the air horn, and let me tell you, it is significantly louder than I thought it would be. So, moving forward, let me ask, and really this question is for any of you, the whole notion of immediate employment, you know, you talked about hauling different things. I know Meijer, I'm sure, has a vested interest in moving products around, given how much produce they have. But how does this program prepare students for that immediate opportunity? I'll give it to you, Adam. How does that work for your students?
Well, the perk of my job is I get to really spend, I was telling these guys on the way down here, I get to spend so much time in that truck. 3 hours a day, I get to learn these kids inside and out. We develop relationships. You know, much to the dismay, I know social media gets a bad rap, but social media allows me to communicate with my kids and my students after they graduate. So I know at this moment in time, with us sitting in this studio, we've got kids rolling down the highway hauling milk. I talked to a student, his name is Logan Dorr. Works his butt off. It's changed his life to the point where he's just turned 21 and he now has money enough that he's thinking about going out and buying a house. So that's how much this program has impacted him. I know Cap and Tree Service is works through DTE and they clear the power lines. We have numerous students working for them and they've been a great supporter of the program. We have students at Buchholz Trucking. We have students that are going right into the agriculture, hauling commodities out of the field. I know that we this year have class of 2025 students going right into working for farmers. So I know immediately upon graduation this fall, those students are going to be hauling wheat and corn, soybeans all up and down our highways, and it's a game changer.
You know, your examples you provide really demonstrate how universal a license like this is, given how many things are driven in a truck. Whether it's sugar beets or furniture or driving Cap'n, which is a service downstate here. I see their trucks around all the time. So a pretty neat sort of a universal opportunity for students to take that skill and apply it to any number of opportunities. One last question. Let me ask you, Superintendent Zimba, what are your future plans for the CDL program, and how do you envision its role going forward for students and the broader community in the years ahead?
Thank you. Yes. I think touching on what Adam said, these kids are able to graduate and make a premium at the jobs that they're going to, knowing that student already has their CDL. So our goal really is to get our passing rate at where we want it to be. So when we first started, we just had a few kids Now our goal this year is to have as many kids pass that class as possible. This year I think we're at 15 already. We've got 22 kids in the class. Our goal is to get everyone through, and then eventually have some more businesses come in and speak to our students to line up those career opportunities, and really grow kids for the positions.
And you know, that's a really good demonstration of how this program is a feeder path to very specific employers. And I can imagine the number of employers who need responsible and reliable truck drivers would invest in a program like this. It really is, as I said at the start of this program, it really is a neat use of the career and technical education programs that we offer in the state, and quite frankly, very different from what we typically offer downstate as it relates to different trades, and that sort of the unique nature of being an agricultural community makes it an opportunity for you to sort of invest in and take care of your own community, which really, I don't know if you've thought of this, really helps your students stay in the community as opposed to graduate and go somewhere else. So what an absolutely fantastic story. I want to thank all of you, Allison Zimba, Superintendent, Teacher Kurt Tuckey, and Adam Dorland for joining us here on School Talks. Without a doubt, keep up the good work, and I'll be thinking of you every time I hear the semi-horn. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you so much.
Coming up after a word from our sponsors, we'll travel to the eastern part of the Upper Peninsula to hear about children who actually have to ride a ferry in order to get to school. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Detour Area School District, way up in northern Michigan, actually in the eastern Upper Peninsula, is Superintendent Robert Vaught. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you and promote my district and students.
I appreciate the time, and before we begin, I want to thank you for your service. I have learned that you are a naval veteran, so I appreciate that service to our country.
Thank you, sir. It was a great opportunity. I can't believe they paid me to do it.
So, as I mentioned at the top here, where you're located, could you give our School Talks listeners an understanding of where you're located and some of the unique features that are part of your district and a neighboring island, if you could?
Well, I'll do so, yes. If you were to drive up I-75 from the Detroit area and go right to the tip of the northern upper peninsula or lower peninsula, you'd cross the Mackinac Bridge. You'd go 14 miles further north, catch M134, and drive directly east. And when you hit water, you hit Detour. That's the very eastern tip of the upper peninsula. My district's 367 square miles. It encompasses an island, which is called Drummond Island. Most folks know Drummond Island, but they don't know they get on the ferry boat in Detour. It's always interesting, as a small school superintendent, the duties that we have. Our nearest McDonald's, Taco Bell, Meyer is 60 miles away. So is our nearest hospital and or state police post. There's a lot of rugged individualism up here. The kids are great. The parents are great. And we have a good time living up here.
You know,
it's beautiful in the summer. It's beautiful in the summer with all the water, you know, all the water sports that we have in the area.
Sure.
Winter can drag on. In fact, there's still snow in the woods.
You know, looking at a map, longitudinally, you are pretty much directly below the metropolitan Detroit area for our School Talks listeners,
yeah.
Sort of a reference point, sort of the way the crow flies, you're due north of the metro Detroit area, just for reference. So tell me a bit, I understand some of your students have to use the ferry every day to come to school, is that correct?
Yep, some of our student and staff do live on Drummond Island. Drummond Island has a K-6 building on there where I have four teachers and a special ed teacher as well as a full kitchen and all that. Once they reach middle school, they will come to Detour. Detour houses both the high school and the middle school as well as Detour Elementary School.
Mm-hmm. And you know, for most school districts in Michigan, lots of school buses driving around. Having children board a ferry seems like it would present an additional set of logistical challenges. How does that work daily with the staff who operate the ferry? And more importantly, how does weather affect their ability sometimes to get to school?
That's an incredible question, because I just turned in my waiver for approval to have approval of my days, weather days this year, four of which were wind days due to the ferry boat not being able to run. We have a bus that operates on the island. We also have a bus from Detour that goes over there and picks up all the middle and high school kids and brings them back over. We also have a couple of teachers who live over there, as well as my secretary on the side. The wind does play a big part in what we do. We get a southeast wind off of Lake Huron. It brings rollers in off the big lake, and we can't dock safely, so we will not have school on those days. I've also had to do early releases. I'll get a call from the ferry boat captains, two of which are school board members of mine, and they'll say, hey, how quick can you get the kids out the door? 2 weeks ago, I had to get them out in 25 minutes and have bus drivers ready and buses ready to go, and they went across the river and they closed down the ferry boat for a few hours. It's a love-hate relationship with the ferry boat.
Yeah,
and especially when the wind's blowing and the ice is moving, it's a dandy. I give those guys a ton of credit.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the weather impact and the ferry and some of the conditions that you mentioned, I understand the district has a pretty unique approach to individualized student learning, given the potential for disruption is somewhat different than a traditional school district. Tell us a bit about the approach you use to individualize student learning in the district.
Well, each student in our district gets a one-to-one device, and going into the COVID lockdowns and the shutdowns of our schools, our kids were already very much used to learning online and distance learning online. In my high school particularly, we have classes in which are taught by one of our staff members that are associated with Baker College and Lake Superior State University, and we teach students from here all the way to Iron Mountain. So if we had a case in which we were going to be shut down for a while, our kids would take their one-to-one devices home, and we could still have synchronous learning going on with our staff. And we did that. We did practice runs before the COVID shutdown, and it didn't really affect us. What did affect us was our lack of internet capabilities. A lot of our students were without going into COVID, and we, you know, purchased, obviously, a lot of hotspots. And they were able to connect. I had to park a bus over there with a hotspot on it and went out in Gatesville-Raber area, and kids were able to go do that. Now, I'm on the EUP Connect Committee, which is working to get high-speed internet into our area, and they're currently, as we speak, are laying down fiber wires over Drummond Island to connect with roughly 70% of the homes on the island as of last week.
So you mentioned the district's about 367 square miles. How many students do you serve K-12 in the district?
On Drummond Island, I have 55 elementary students. I have 47 high school students and 56 students in our middle school and Detour Elementary.
So from a broad brush perspective, 150 students across 360, that really gives you a sense of the challenge you face fostering a sense of community when kids are so far spread out.
Without question.
And what that poses for you. So, you know, I want to take a minute away from the geography and some of those issues. I was really intrigued to learn about your Arts and Technology Academy, where you infuse technology and art together. Could you share with us some examples of how that's happening in your district?
Yeah, definitely. But to give you a little idea about our charter, our public charter school, it's actually housed within the Detour High School building. It's a product that came out in 2008 when they had considered, you know, when schools were shuttering and having issues with finance, they were considering closing Drummond Island Elementary School. And the solutions was that to save both Detour and Drummond is to keep Drummond Island Elementary School open and open Detour Elementary as a public charter school. Our Detour area schools, which is Detour High School and Drummond Island Elementary, are out of formula schools, whereas Detour Arts and Technology are a public charter school. Now, with the technology, all of our students, again, I mentioned they have one-to-one devices in the academy. They're exposed from kindergarten all the way up through eighth grade to a large amount of technology and uses of proper uses of technology. They're using AI daily. We have New Line equipment in the classrooms that are very interactive for students to use. In the arts, we have an incredible arts program in which our high school art teacher teaches our middle school and elementary students on different days of the week. We have a very robust music program, and the kids put on plays. It's the all-around student gets to learn, not just math, science, social studies, and English. They get to appreciate the arts and the ability to use technologies, especially in our ever-changing world.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, we've talked about some of the logistical challenges of the square footage or mileage of the district, the number of students, and so on. And I understand that you regularly take advantage of the state's seat time waiver in order to service children who can't attend school. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Yep.
There's many factors that prevent a student from coming to school, whether it's anxiety, depression, hospitalization, whatever it may be. We will accept students from other school districts from anywhere. We have students from as far down south as West Branch. We have students, I mentioned earlier, taking classes all the way from Iron Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It affords the kids the opportunity to work online with our staff. And our staff isn't just confined to our building. Our seat time waiver classes are taught by teachers from around other community schools, such as Brimley or Whitefish.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to enroll in there, and they're monitored by our staff, and they provide feedback to those students. It's another opportunity for kids who might not get a diploma to receive that high school diploma.
You really point to the whole seat time waiver concept really exploded during the pandemic when students were not coming in school on a regular basis. And to see how you've used that to your advantage to service more children in an area that has a set of challenges unlike a lot of other school districts is pretty impressive. So
it is. I currently have 107 students in that from surrounding school districts, and they're all high school students. We only go grades 9 through 12 with our seat time waiver classes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they'll graduate with our kids. I believe we're going to have 12 students graduating, 14 students graduating this May 17th, but we'll also have 6 or 8 students from our seat time waiver class, and they'll come in, they'll have their caps and gowns just like our regular kids. We include them in our state testing, such as the SAT and MSTEP and all of that. We include those students in that as well. It's a great opportunity for kids who might likewise drop out or not even attend school, you know?
Yep. Robert Vaught, the superintendent of Detour Area School District, I want to thank you for joining us on School Talks today and really giving us a refreshing look at how schools operate away from places downstate here and how unique the challenges you are there. I had never thought that school couldn't run due to the wind and the ferry. That's a far different set of circumstances than what we face down here. So, most important, keep up the good work, and I appreciate your time on School Talks today.
Thank you, sir, very much.
From pizza to poetry to Ann Arbor Pioneer, we have lots to discuss right after this. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on School Talks is Mr. Jeff Cass, a 10th grade English teacher and creative writing teacher at Ann Arbor Pioneer High School, and maybe of equal importance, a pretty neat author of a book titled The Teacher Pizza Delivery Guy. Welcome to the program, Mr. Cass.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for having me.
So I need to give you a little background on how I discovered you. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the Wayne State University bookstore with my daughter, Hannah, and we were killing time before having lunch, and she came across your book of poems called Teacher/Pizza Guy. And she says, "Hey, Dad, you got to get this guy on your show." And one thing led to another, and here we are. And I purchased the book, and I'm just intrigued by some of the sort of the basic premise of where you started, because myself included, many teachers have second jobs, especially when they first start out. I know lots of teachers who are musicians or bartenders or do all kinds of things. And I just found it intriguing to come across a book like this that had the candor in it that your book of poems did. So let me start. What inspired you to write this teacher slash pizza guy book? And how is it sort of based on your experiences?
Well, the situation is that in the year 2016, I was working full time as a high school teacher here. But my salary, as you know, from, you know, working throughout the state, was not covering the expenses of living in Ann Arbor. The property taxes are high. My kids want to play sports. You know, I think my son plays ice hockey and baseball. My daughter plays field hockey. And we just couldn't cover it all. So I needed to take another job. I happened to be driving past Cottage Inn one night, and I saw that they had a sign that said drivers needed. I walked in there. It turned out one of my former students was the manager, and he offered me the position. So I want to do something at night because I didn't want to interfere, obviously, with the school day or just with hanging out and watching my kids in the afternoons. So I want to do something I could do after they went to sleep. And so I took this job delivering pizzas, and it was really, really hard. I did not have the notion that I was going to write a book about this experience, but it was just so challenging, you know, those days of working all day as a teacher and then going on shift at 6 o'clock and working till 5 in the morning and then having to wake up 2 hours later to come back to school. It was a really difficult year. And honestly, like, writing poems kind of got me through it. Like, something would happen during the shift and I'd write down some notes on a napkin or a receipt. This was kind of like the time before I was writing anything on my phone. And I would just kind of collect that stuff and process my experience through poems. And that gave me some life. It gave me some hope during those long, dark nights. And so that's why I wrote it. And I think it was an important message for the state of teachers, because, like you said, many of them have second jobs. And it's not easy to do that.
Yeah, and many of them choose to work an entirely different profession during the summer to continue to make ends meet. And, you know, one poem in the book I found just simply fascinating was the one titled "The Manager Talks About Getting Engaged." And what that what does that reveal about your experience, and how did that poem sort of generate itself?
So that's my favorite poem in the book. And when I wrote that poem, that made me believe there actually was a book to be had out of these experiences. I was like, oh, yes, okay, there's something here. And it's a poem based on a true story where it was like 5 in the morning, and the manager, who, like I said, was a former student, still kind of looked up to me for advice, even though I was just a delivery driver because I'd been a teacher. And he's like, hey, listen, I'm thinking about getting engaged. What do you think? Is it a good idea? And then he asked me if my experience getting engaged was special. And as I say in the poem, yes, it was very special, but it's not a story I really like to share. It's something I like to keep to myself because I kind of treasure it. But it was such an awful night. And I relayed an experience in there where it was snowing and the roads are terrible and hazardous. And I deliver a bunch of pizzas to a class taught by a professor around 8 o'clock at night. And it was a $97 bill, and he only tipped me $5. And I was like, what the heck is that? You know? So the whole poem kind of tells those stories of how I end up telling this kid, this manager, my story that I really like not to share with people. But I end up telling him because our night was just so awful. And I was like, all right, we need some hope. Let me tell this story. And that the poem kind of relates to that whole experience.
And you know what I really, from reading your book of poems, what I really appreciate about it is how it really is a voice for teachers who might be struggling financially or even emotionally dealing with what is often an underappreciated profession. When you consider the role teachers play in the lives of children that often goes unnoticed or unappreciated, it's a lot like that $5 tip on almost $100 worth of pizza. So we're currently with Jeff Cass, a author, a teacher at Ann Arbor Pioneer High School. And Jeff, I want to talk a little bit more about what you're currently involved with. You have another piece, True Believer. Could you share with us, True Believer, what that is and how it's an extension of this kind of work that you're doing?
Okay. So, yeah, thank you. The teacher slash pizza guy book, listen, I tried to find moments of light in that experience. And I tried to put some humor in there. And I try to make it seem like it wasn't hopeless, that there are reasons why this is actually a good experience, even though it was really, really difficult. But my mom hates that book. She just hates thinking of her son out there after teaching all day, washing dishes in the back room at 4 a.m. So my next collection, I really wanted to like write something a little more joyful, a little more full of kind of inspiration as opposed to desperation. And so I started thinking about what are the elements of my life that inspire me. And I wrote a poem a few years ago after Stan Lee died. And I don't know if you know, but Stan Lee was like the face of Marvel Comics for like 50 years. And when he passed away, I wrote an elegy for Stan Lee. And that brought me back to like being a kid and reading Marvel Comics when I was 10 years old and how much fun that was and how joyous it was. And I started writing more Marvel poems. I wrote one about Thor and his marriage to Led Zeppelin in the Thor movie. And I just started thinking, this is kind of an interesting, fun way to look at the world. And I actually think the book is really relevant right now because, we've got so much going on that's so scary. And thinking about how we form those values of believing what's right and what we can fight for. And a lot of those values really were formed for me, by my parents, but also by reading comic books and reading about Captain America never giving up and Daredevil fighting against his fears. And so I kind of wrote a whole collection that explores my connections to Marvel Comics and how it formed my worldview. And I love these poems. They're just so fun to perform and talk about. So, yeah, it's a book that kind of everything circles around Marvel Comics and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it's about how do we find the heroic in ourselves.
Yeah, and you mentioned just given the challenges we face today, I think about a generation of school children who, as much as they need reading, writing, and arithmetic, they need people to look up to. And when you take a vehicle like your True Believer collection, it really is a neat way to reach them in a totally different way, especially given how dominating social media is and other platforms that take up so much of their time. So Jeff Cass, creative writing teacher and 10th grade English teacher at Ann Arbor Pioneer High School, and so much more than a pizza delivery guy. Make sure your mom hears this. This is a fascinating twist on what it means to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk as a teacher and doing your own creative writing. And I can only imagine the inspiration you are with your students. So I sincerely appreciate your time here on School Talks, and I look forward to your future work.
Thank you, Robert. Really appreciate being on the show with you. Best of luck.
From learning how to drive a big rig to a teacher who delivers pizzas and writes poetry to children all the way up in the UP who have to ride a ferry to get to school, this has been a pretty unique edition of School Talks. And with that, remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.